always running about 2 minutes late at UGASports.com. Well, I am. The rest of the guys were here on time waiting, and of course, as usual, I am the late dog. My name is Ryan DeBulsey. I am the publisher of UGASports.com. I am joined by Jed May, Lance Percurley, and Trent Smallwood. They are the recruiting team at UGASports.com. Plus, we got intern Paul, who's probably off waiting to have another baby or something, but he'll be around. And of course, everybody at UGA Sports deals with recruiting it all the time. But these are the main guys. These are the guys working the camp yesterday, the Rivals Challenge Camp, you know, the big Rivals Camp that comes through Atlanta every year. They were all there yesterday watching some of the best players in America go head-to-head. We've got a lot of updates from that. We have a lot of updates that will be coming throughout the week. You know, we put in all these quick notes yesterday on a gigantic thread at UGASports.com. If you go to the vault, that's our message board. Tons and tons of updates. We will flesh out those updates over the coming days. That's where you can get the initial quick hitters. But even all the news from the camp yesterday pales in comparison to what happened last week. Now, on the show Monday, we said, should Georgia be on commit watch? And we said, yes, they should, because we knew that 2025 quarterback Ryan Montgomery was going to make his decision. And I think everyone on here predicted that he would be a Georgia Bulldog, and that's exactly what we saw. Nice little move with the actual Bulldog there. That bodes well. That's a... takes me back to Isaiah Crowell. You know, that was, worked out for Crow. So hopefully he will be, Ryan will be even better than Isaiah Crowell. So
Crow had the solid white dog, though.
That was true. That one, he did kind of one up him there. And plus, he put it in front of in Gabe's face, too. And Gabe's like, get that dog out of here, which is kind of a little jab to his teammate there. But fun stuff there from Ryan Montgomery. Good kid. We're going to have him on the show here, hopefully. We're going to keep trying to get him on. You've got to get his schedule and our schedules worked out together. So, guys, if you would, just kind of go around the horn and tell me what you think about Ryan Montgomery and what Georgia fans can expect. What are the Bulldogs getting in this guy? Tell me.
Yeah, well, again, I mean, we mentioned this last week that people thought, oh, well, Georgia's settling for a lower-ranked guy. Montgomery's the 160th player in the country or something. He's a very, very good player. He's mobile. He's more of a Carson Beck-level athlete than maybe a Stetson Bennett or a Gunnar Stockton, but he can move. He actually said when I interviewed him that people sleep on his agility a little bit. So he's got that going for him. He's very accurate, big kid, got good size. So just all around, you know, I don't know that there's any one thing that – he is that just blows you away necessarily, but he's just solid and good at everything. Probably his accuracy is about the best thing he's got going for him, which for a quarterback is a good thing. So, you know, on the show last week, we were talking about we think Georgia's going to take him. We think they've given him the green light based on what we'd heard for the few hours leading up to the show. Obviously, Georgia did take him, and I think it's a good move to get a guy on board and a guy who wants to be a Bulldog and a guy who is very, very talented.
Yeah, I actually had a receiver yesterday tell me that I was talking about Georgia's offense and how they're starting to implement more of the passing game, not really hearing like we used to. They're a running team. They're you know, yeah, a running back. You start to hear more wide receiver than you know. Then he said, and they just got Ryan Montgomery. And I said, have you asked him if you've seen him throw? And he said, no, but I've heard about him throughout the recruiting circuit. So that means his name is around with wide receivers. And I think he's, you know, when I went and saw him at IMG last year, I thought he was very accurate. I said he only maybe had one incompletion throughout that whole 7-on-7 event. And, you know, I've seen some comparisons to Jake Fromm on the board. I would say from a leadership mindset, stuff like that, it is very comparable. Coach on the field, very comparable to Jake Fromm. I think his skill set is different than Jake Fromm's. I think he's a little bigger, his hands bigger. I think Jake Fromm has a lot of his problem with throwing the his arm strength and stuff. I mean, he throws a 93-mile-an-hour fastball. I don't think it was his arm strength necessarily. I think it was a lot to do with his hand size. But I think Ryan has a bigger hand than Jake. I think Ryan has a little bit stronger arm. Not saying it's Carson Beck level. Not saying it's Matthew Stafford level. I think it is a little bit stronger than Jake Fromm. And he is accurate with the football. Far as you know, like you talk about being a dual threat, or not really a dual threat, but having the ability to get around in the pocket, scramble. I think he does have that. I think he has, just like he's showing now, has the ability to escape the pocket. I don't think you're going to see many design runs with him, but he does have the opportunity to, you know, escape, extend plays.
I actually talked to someone today when I was working at my other job. It's actually from Findlay, Ohio, and I mean seriously.
How the hell do you run into somebody else from Findlay, Ohio?
Seriously, down there shooting that golf tournament, Lake Oconee, that one of the athletic directors in one of the schools, and he said that, you know, it's good football up there. You know, we really don't know, you know, what, you know, with Ohio, you know, what level of competition, but he said that Findlay plays in a really tough division. And last week, I believe it was last Wednesday, when I talked to Ryan's coach, I think it was Stephon Thomas is his name. I mean, if you haven't read that article, there he gave some great quotes. It was hard to kind of cut a few out, but I mean, the guy just spoke just so well of him and so high. I mean, he said his work ethic from, you know, day one has been, you know, kind of what Trent said, has been a leader on the field and in the locker room. And I mean, he's been a starter for Findlay since like game three of his like freshman year. The plan was to start him the first game of his freshman year, but they didn't think he was ready, but he was ready by apparently week two or three. So I like him. I think he has a lot of upside. He does remind me of Carson Beck in terms of like arm strength, but I think that you know, Georgia got a good fit, and it's a system fit, I think, that Georgia needs. He's kind of like a Ryan Puglisi, Jake Fromm, you know, Carson Beck guy that I feel like will wait his turn if he ends up Gunnar Stockton, if he wants to play at Georgia one day.
I think the only thing that the only knock is that you're not getting that dual threat. But I mean, Georgia's had dual threat guys. How often have they used them to their ability? You had Brock Vandegrift. How many times do we see him roll out? You know, how much did they use Justin Fields for what he could do?
I mean, again, you're modern dual. Again, it's not, it's like Trent said, it's not dual threat in the sense of you're drawing up design runs. You know, again, he has the ability to, once again, I said this last week, once a game, he can keep the ball on a zone.
These clips, there's a bunch of them really right there. Boom.
If you can do that and at least keep defenses honest, and then like Trent said, he can extend plays, he can get outside the pocket, he can throw on the run, stuff like that, you're good. I mean, you don't need a guy who like a Jaden Daniels who's going to run for
it's 8-9 plays in a row of him running. I love
it. Yeah, I mean, he's got the mobility and the athleticism that Georgia needs to run the offense like it wants to run it. So from that perspective, he's more than fine for sure.
And that was my point, is like, that's the knock on him. And I'm like, that's not a knock. This kid, he can do exactly what, like, all you need to do is keep him honest. If we're sitting there watching a show with Coach Donovan, and you know, they keep doing that, you know, the RPO, or I mean the fake, you know, it's like, look, just keep it one time, because they're cheating. They're not worried about you running it. Keep it just once, and that will burn them so badly. This is a guy that can do it. Plus, I mean, if you're watching these throws, the release, the arm strength, the accuracy, this is a Kirby Smart, Mike Bobo, Todd Monken-esque bit quarterback who would work in your system. Mm-hmm. It's exactly what you want. You will win games. If this guy, and you watch his eyes, look at the discipline, look at his reads. He's reading all the right players. He knows where to go with the ball. What did Kirby Smart say the other day about Gunnar Stockton? If he makes a mistake when he comes off the field, we ask him, he's telling you the right thing. He knows what he did wrong. And that's the number one thing, because all the other stuff you can fix, and this kid gets it right. He gets it right all the time. So I can see why Georgia wanted him. I see why Georgia was recruiting him. Did they want Matt Zollers? Yeah, they wanted him. Did they want Juju Lewis? Yes. Which brings us to the next part. Or we'll bring that up in a second. But these three guys were pretty much the only three that we really mentioned in this class. And we've been covering Ryan Montgomery for some time because he keeps visiting Georgia. He wants to be here. And how many times we read a post from someone saying, I want the kid who wants to be at Georgia.
Yeah.
And this is a kid who wants to be there, and he fits your system. He's really talented. I love it. I'm just saying he doesn't come with the flash that some of the other guys do. And you want two titles for the guy that didn't have flash. Carson Beck didn't have a whole lot of flash 2 years ago. I mean, hell, he had a fight this time last spring. He was fighting for the job.
He's got a Lambo now, though. He's got a lot of flash.
Yeah. Now all of a sudden it's like, okay. And hey, by the end, who was cockier? Who had more swagger than two-time defending champion Stetson Bennett? Mm-hmm. You know, it's by the time they get in the system and they make the system work like they're supposed to, they are flashy and you love them. I mean, people were waiting for Carson Beck to transfer a couple years ago. Now he's probably going to lead you to another title this year. So that's just me.
I don't know. I saw a post on a Tennessee board yesterday that said that Carson Beck's going somewhere. And I was like, oh, where's he going? He just got a Lambo.
Definitely. Now let's talk about who they missed on. Okay. So Matt Zollers, they wanted him. He winds up going to Missouri. That was a guy who hardly ever visited. You know, he visited only for the second time 2 days or 48 hours before he made his decision. Juju Lewis has been here a ton, though. And the question was, okay, if they take Ryan Montgomery, are they going to continue to recruit Juju Lewis? Now, Juju Lewis is the five-star quarterback, the number one player in the country. He's out of Carrollton. He's an in-state guy. He has comparisons to Deshaun Watson, kind of Trevor Lawrence, you know, just big-name quarterback, Justin Fields, in the state of Georgia. How can you miss out on a guy like that? How can you not land him? You're Georgia. You're the flagship. You got to get him. And Georgia tried. But he's committed to USC, and we got to speak to him yesterday, exclusive interviews. I don't know that he's talked to a whole bunch of people since Ryan Montgomery committed. And, Jed, you asked him about all this stuff. You know, what's going on? You know, what are you hearing from Georgia? Now, last week, I said that I expected Georgia to continue to recruit him. Doesn't sound like this is going to happen, but I will lay a marker down now. At some point in October, November, December, that Juju Lewis's name will pop up in connection with Georgia again. That's not to say that Georgia will come back around. It's just every time that we think they're completely out on a guy, the rumors come back. They always do. So
it's because he comes back. I mean,
would any of you be surprised if he shows up at a game?
No, I wouldn't be surprised if he shows up on campus in June. I mean, even if it's unofficial, official, whatever it might be, he is friends with a lot of these kids in this not only class, but a lot of Georgia's targets. And I mean, there's a very solid chance he shows up at Georgia this summer, whether or not they say they're recruiting him or he says they're recruiting him or whatever. I think he's going to be a name that's going to be heard till signing day.
Hi, Jeb. This is all kind of stuff behind the paywall, but go ahead and give the people who are not subscribed to UJ Sports kind of insight on what Juju Lewis said yesterday about Georgia.
Yeah, well, Julian was pretty matter of fact about it. You know, the first question was, hey, what had you heard? He said, I'm reading the quote from the story. I haven't talked to them about the situation. They got their guy in 25. You've got to have your guy, and I've been locked in for a while, so I understand that they can't just go with an empty class. So he gets it. You know, I saw some people in the thread yesterday saying, oh, Juju seems salty. And I don't know, he didn't seem like that, but he just, again, he knows Georgia needs a guy. And he had another quote in here. He says, I asked him, I said, are you still going to consider Georgia? And he said, I'll consider them, but Ryan Montgomery is pretty locked in. I've had a lot of chances to commit out there. If I would have done it, I should have done it a long time ago. And like you said, Roddy, he visited Georgia in February. He visited Georgia in March for spring practice, and he visited, I think, two games last year in Athens. So all while committed to USC. So he's had plenty of opportunities to flip if he'd wanted to. If Georgia hadn't taken Ryan Montgomery, would that have happened down the line? Maybe. I mean, I've been on the record saying that I haven't been able to talk myself into it, but that doesn't mean anything. But this, I think, makes – I would be shocked if Julian Lewis ended up in this class at this point, just because I didn't see it to begin with, and now I think he's going to go – whether it's Auburn, whether it's Alabama, whether it's Colorado, whether he sticks with USC, he's going to go somewhere where he's going to be the guy in a class, I think. And I mean, I get that. I understand it. But yeah, I would say Georgia is very much at the, now again, wouldn't be shocked if he shows up on a visit at some point, but yeah, I don't think, I very, very much don't think
he, you've never been a Juju at UGA believer.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's not like this has changed. It's not like this has changed my mind.
I'm with you. I mean, I said it would.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to, I don't think it's a, he's not, I don't think he's pissed off or anything. I just think it is what it is. And it's got to a point where Georgia's got to take a guy who wants to be here. And Ryan Montgomery has been that guy for a long time. And they just said, all right, we're going to.
For a very long time.
So
my thought is, put it in dating parlance. If he wanted to, he would.
Yeah.
How many times you heard that, you know, when the, like, why hasn't he proposed? Why hasn't he, you know, why won't he commit to a relationship? Hey, that thing goes both ways, you know. So he actually said it, you know, you can't have an empty class. What?
I said, when your high school sweetheart doesn't, you don't pick your high school sweetheart the first time and then you miss out on the second time. And now you're just hoping they get divorced at some point.
Yeah. And hey, you keep recruiting him because you never know what's going to happen in the portal. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't lose it. But the point is, I thought the people could say, oh, he was salty. And I mentioned that I was talking to one of his teammates, and he kind of walks up to the side, and I tease that teammate because I saw Juju out of the corner of my eye. I'm like, well, Juju said the only reason you got a Georgia offer is because, you know, they're trying to get him. And Juju's like, oh, and the guy started giving Juju hell. It was funny. I was teasing him. Kid knew it. But then Juju's like, I don't F with Georgia. And I'm like, okay. Meaning I don't hang out with them. I don't chill with them. The guy's like, why wouldn't you? And this is all on audio. And he's like,
yeah.
And he's just like, you know, and he kept making a face, you know, like, with all that's happened, I'm like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I mean, you don't F with them anymore because had your chance. You wanted them to hold a spot open for you. Kirby's not going to do that forever. He's been burned on that, holding out for that one guy to the very end. Like, look, give me somebody who I can start building with now. I will develop them into the guy. Do I want Juju Lewis? Yes. Because what I can build with him would be pretty good. What can I build with Ryan Montgomery? A championship team. I can do it with Gunnar Stockton. I can do it with Brock Vandegrift. I can do it with Stetson Bennett. I can do it with my guys. But we can't sit here and not have a quarterback in this class, you know, going into December.
Mm-hmm.
It's too much that can go wrong. Let's get our guy. That's why they tried to get Zollers. Let's get him in the class. Ryan Montgomery's ready to commit. All right, we'll take him. Juju, you're going to hold out. We're not going to dance to your tune. Not in a mean way. It's just – now, if you want to come back around, you know, or we'll stay in touch with you just in case. But now he's a plan B guy. Whereas, you know, Zollers maybe Montgomery or somebody was like a plan B. You know, here's our first guy, here's our second guy. You take the commitment of one or two. You don't wait. You know, you don't put off number two or number three because number one might commit to you in, you know, 6 months. So I'm all for it. When he basically said, look, I've had plenty of chances to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hell, you could have even decommitted. That would have been a movement towards Georgia thinking they had a chance. You won't even decommit. So, and again, not to say that that's a prerequisite, because Trent told us for 9 months that KJ Bolden was going to be a Bulldog. He didn't decommit. He wrote it all the way out to signing day, and then it's a Georgia Bulldog. So it happened. So I'm not saying he needed to prove something, but at the same time, Georgia didn't put all their eggs in one basket with KJ Bolton. So why would you do that with a quarterback? You got to get your quarterback in the future. So. Thoughts, Trent?
No, I just think you, just like you said, even if he would have, it would have been hard for me if I'm coaching the University of Georgia, even if he decommitted, to trust this going the next 8 months and holding on to his commitment, or if he even committed to Georgia. I think taking Montgomery is the safe bet. Like, you took Puglisi last year. Raiola was just a cherry on top.
That's great. That's a great point.
But I don't think When you missed out on Raula, you're still not hurting because you still got your number one guy in the class because they prioritized Puglisi from the start. It's just like Montgomery. It's a very similar situation. If you get Juju at the end, it's cherry on top. If you don't, you're not stuck waiting. And they got stuck waiting with Arch. He's not going to get stuck waiting again. So
yeah, that's a good point. Bringing up the Arch Manning precedent. I like that one. I like this thing from Richard Coley here. He says, I think some of the USC guys also won't end up staying. It's a marathon, not a race. That's what Kirby is best at. That is a great point, Richard, because sometimes when you get these emotional weekends and you get that kid to commit, and then you like try to stay on him and you discourage visits. Mm-hmm. Georgia knows that it is now a double marathon. So you fight to get him to signing day, then you got to keep – they might wind up in the portal. So,
yeah. And you got to think, USC's got to take a different strategy this year. Going to the Big Ten, how successful are you going to be? Let's go all in the spring, then let's see if we can hold on instead of going all in at the end when we just went 5-7 or 6-6. So they're trying to go all in early and see who they can hold on to at the end. Yeah. And it's probably a smart strategy because I don't think the season is going to go as planned for them this year.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense to me because, I mean, they're trying to build, like with Justice Terry, they're trying to build their lines of scrimmage up real bad because you look up and, you know, they're going to be competing against Nebraska, Iowa, who don't have as good of skill players, but those dudes in the Big Ten, they hit. And, I mean, look at Michigan, Joe Moore, award winners the past couple years and great defensive linemen.
Rigged. I'm sorry. I was choking on my drink there.
Our offense against USC defense. Our about score.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, for real.
Yeah, that's fun. Sorry. Stuff. But the USC thought angle of it is, I can see him going out there. If you're a quarterback, I see playing for Riley. Makes me perfect mm-hmm. sense. I got no qualms about that. Plus, there's the bright lights, big city aspect of it. This is a guy who sees himself as a national. National prospect, playing for I was checking out the truck he drove out, and that's a nice truck. He has a really nice truck.
The one that got stolen.
And I say him and his camp. I could see them being a big fitting that LA lifestyle, the bigger than life, the marketing and all that stuff. Do you guys see Kirby taking on that?
No.
No,
not at all. I don't think that
culture wise, even if Georgia could land him tomorrow, is it a fit?
I don't think so.
I don't think it's a fit for the team. I don't think it's a fit for the offense. I don't think it's a fit for the way Kirby has built this roster. I think it would just be different, a different animal in the locker room. He hasn't built this roster around.
To be fair, I want to see that. Animal.
I would like to. He is not.
And that's the game.
He has not built this a roster around a incoming $2 million quarterback. He's mm-hmm. built this roster on the line of scrimmages and developed his quarterbacks to fit his mold. He hasn't developed it around bringing in a $2 million high school quarterback or however much he is. But
I think they could. You're right. But I think if you got Juju, you could do it. I mean, the man can coach. He's got the guys around him to coach. Give Mike Bobo a $2 million quarterback, he's going to win you games. You know, he will tweak the offense, and it will look like it'll look a little different.
You know, my thing is,
I'm all for it. If it happened, I think it'd be great. But to your point, you were right. The way it is, he builds inside out, and you don't have to have that $2 million a year guy. You got to have somebody who's damn smart, make good decisions. I mean, what does Kirby talk about when he comes off the field and you ask him how his quarterback did? You know, he took care of the ball. Sounds like the biggest cliche of all time, but Kirby plays the percentages. Yeah. I mean, his number one gadfly is turnover. So,
and I can assure you, if you
got us in the right play, that's the other thing. I was trying to remember the other thing. He said, took care of the ball, got us in the right play. One and two on Kirby's priority list.
Mm-hmm. And the reason why I say he's not a fit, and I'm not talking about he would fit in anybody's offense, but I'm talking about from a – you're going to bring him in and he ain't going to be patient. So you're going to be forced to put him on the field at some point year one, whether it's in a backup role or a two quarterback role or something, but that's not fitting what the way Kirby's built it. Like that's pushing something on him that he's not, you know, comfortable with, I think. So I think that's where the not fit comes from, because if he doesn't play what year one, well, he's gone. So
that's a good point. Great point. All right. As Doug Magnus says, let's move on. But again, we need to take a second to close the book on Juju Lewis and talk about Ryan Montgomery. So we'll move on to there. Major camp yesterday in Atlanta. Huge number of kids came out in god awful weather. I mean, for weeks leading up to Sunday, the weather was beautiful. I mean, just absolutely stunning. And then Sunday morning, we have all the kids from multiple states coming to Atlanta to be in the rivals camp. It's freezing cold and pouring rain. I'm like, but those, I'm glad we had the linemen first. When the weather was worse, all these linemen showed up. They're like, man, this ain't nothing to us. And they're out there in sleeveless t-shirts and nuthugger shorts. They are just going at it, slapping each other around. I mean, not to be mean to the skill players, but I think the skill players are like, I ain't gonna go out there throwing catch him with a sideways rain. But the, hey, the offensive and defensive linemen did. They went at it. And then the weather got a little bit better, not nearly as much rain. And we saw some of the best quarterbacks, wide receivers, running backs, linebackers going at it. Fun stuff, tight ends. So we had some really standout performances yesterday. So let's just go around and everybody give me one guy that kind of stood out to them.
All right, I'm taking dibs on the best guy from the whole camp, which was Eric Winters from Alabama. He was, I mean, I've never seen a guy. So he was working with the DBs. I've never seen a guy intercept as many passes as he did yesterday. I saw three. I've heard some people say he got four. I saw three specifically. Georgia had been recruiting him as a linebacker for a long time. He told me, he was like, yeah, I thought I was going to play linebacker for a long time. And then he got to his junior year of high school, and he was 195 pounds, and he's like, yeah, I'm probably going to be a DB in college. So he's 6'2", 200, and I think 3 pounds he weighed in yesterday. Great coverage skills. Georgia's recruiting him as a safety slash star now with Chavarius Robinson. And he said, you see it right there, the interest and communication has skyrocketed over the past couple of weeks. He would be a phenomenal add to the DB room, which Georgia doesn't have any DBs in the 25 class right now, and the board is kind of like up in the air in terms of it's kind of unclear where they might go. So Winters would be a great ad. He said his top three is Georgia, Miami, and Auburn. Obviously, being from Alabama, Auburn is going to be a major part of this till the end. His official visit, let me see what he told me, is June 7th through 9th is when he'll be in Athens for his official visit. So I know if I'm Javaris Robinson, if I'm Dante Williams, Kirby Smart, I'm going all out to try to get this kid, because he was absolutely phenomenal, like you said, Roddy, against some of the top guys in definitely this region yesterday. He plays good competition in Alabama too. He would be – if you get Eric Winters as a safety and Dijon Lee as a corner, your secondary class is off to a really, really, really good start.
Yeah, let me touch in on that before you guys mention somebody else. For folks that don't know what these camps are like, they'll have basically – one quarterback, he's throwing to one wide receiver, and there's one guy in coverage. The quarterback and the wide receiver talk, and they talk. The receiver walks up. They don't really know each other. They haven't worked out together a whole lot. But the wide receiver walks up, says, "Hey, I'm gonna run a dig. I'm running a nine route. I'm running a post route. You know, sluggo, whatever." You put the, in this case, a linebacker on a wide receiver and say, "Hey, good luck covering him." Sometimes the linebackers work against the running backs who are running routes as well, but there is no sack. The quarterback can drop back three steps, five steps, seven steps, and bounce around for 15 minutes before he throws the ball. There's some of those routes are garbage. I mean, especially the stuff over the middle, those plays would never happen, just like in a 7-on-7. But it is impossible to cover these guys for long periods of time because almost everything winds up in the end zone. And you're asking a linebacker to do that. There's no rush on the quarterback. He has all day to pick you apart. And it's tough to get one interception in these camps. This kid got three or four. as a linebacker.
I've never seen. He probably had more interceptions by himself yesterday than I've seen like total in the three or four Rivals games I've been to. It was phenomenal.
It was like every wide receiver was challenging him. Like the best wide receivers at the camp were like, and he literally shut every one of them down. I might have saw one completion against him in one-on-ones. Then that was it.
This wasn't like, and some guys will cheat. They get out there, they start throwing the receiver to the ground, or they tackle him or knock his hands down. And the coaches will yell, you know, the guy who's coaching up the wide receivers will be like, that's pass interference. And the guy who's coaching up the secondary is like, that's just playing ball, you know, let him go. It wasn't like he was slamming guys to the ground. My point is, just like when we do the offensive line versus the defensive line has the advantage because they're just basically doing pass rush. They're not worried about, you know, is it a run play? They know it's a show pass, and they just got to get to the cone or get to the coaches standing there. It's very unfair to the offensive lineman. You don't have pads on, and if the defensive lineman jumps off sides, it doesn't matter. They just reset, you know. So you can jump the gun on the snap count and just however many times you want to. You never lose. So, but in this situation, it's unfair to the defensive side. So when you watch these stuff, and we have a ton of the one-on-ones at Rivals.com, you can go check out all the one-on-ones. You can see him go against these wide receivers, and you'll be very, very impressed. All right, Trent, give me somebody that stood out to you.
Since he went with Winard, I'll go with Sam Turner. You know, I talked to him before the camp even started, or before the skill positions guy started. And I just talked to him because he mentioned Georgia being in his top three, or, you know, kind of the school standing out. But then it was just like lower schools. And so I asked him, do you have an offer from Georgia? And he said, well, McClendon offered me. Coley's talked to me. He honored that offer, but I need to come work out. So he's coming to work out at the end of May. So I just took it at, okay, well, we'll see what happens. And then he goes out there. He's unranked. He won't be for long. He's unranked, and Jed, make him a 4-star. Okay.
Yeah. And that's on me.
And he was a top three wide receiver at the camp. I believe he got honorable mention. Tight end won it.
Yeah.
So he was a top two wide receiver at the camp, basically. And he was smooth. Like, he was very good route runner. He created separation on every one of his routes. I didn't, you know, we talk about on the defense side of the ball, I didn't see him lose many reps when he was at wide receiver because he was, you know, he called everything. You know, it's not great weather, ball's wet. He called everything. And I mean, he was just very good. I mean, I thought I was very impressed. You know, I turned around, looked at Jed coming out and said, yeah, well, I think he'll be a take because he is a, very good wide receiver. He's got, I think he's like 6'1". I would say, yeah. I can't remember. I don't know what his height and weight was. I have to look back. But
where's he from?
Southwest DeKalb.
Southwest DeKalb.
Good program.
I didn't even realize that. I mean, now that I look back at his thing, I remember seeing that, but I'm like, yeah.
Yep.
Give me a kid. Give me a Southwest DeKalb kid.
I think he's one of Terrence Edwards' former kids too.
He's 6'1" and 192 pounds. Is what he measured it at yesterday. Mm-hmm.
I was very, very impressed with him. I haven't looked at any of his stats from high school. I don't even know what kind of offense they run over there. But he was very good over the middle, deep routes. You know, caught with his hands away from his body, was able to stretch the field, get over top of a cornerback. So I thought he was very impressive. Nice. Now, Lance, tell me about Bo Walker.
Those were literally my two players. I was waiting on you to say one of them, and I was going to go the other. But no, I really liked Bo Walker, Georgia commit 2025. We caught up with him. Jed caught up with him after we thought that he was going to be coming to G-Day for a visit. He ends up at Alabama. And Jed can probably elaborate more on that. But, I mean, just kind of watching him, I've seen him play twice, and all I've done is see him just run away from people. He's not a burner, but he's really, really slippery. He's more of a not east west, but he won't run you over. But I got to watch him catch passes out of the backfield yesterday, and I just remember he like runs by me and just says, "F it, I should be a wide receiver one day." I mean, just, and he's got a good attitude, and he's, yeah, I mean, just in this clip right here, he's just able to kind of turn the corner and then just set the edge and then just kind of run downfield. Every game that I've seen him play, he's broken off a long run, and if not a lot more. And I think he's got great vision. And yesterday just kind of proved that he's got solid hands. And, you know, talking about Kirby Smart's offense, that's what they like to have. I mean, you look at it, he's not a James Cook type back at all. But I mean, you know, you look at James Cook catching Kenny McIntosh, even catching passes out of the backfield and running up.
I was going to say another thing about Bo is he's very powerful. Like he can run through tackles, and that's something you don't get to see in a camp setting because it's obviously not tackle. Guys aren't in pads. I mean, the routes out of the backfield, you are you know, the play's over as soon as the guy catches the ball. So, I mean, yeah, he's 5'9", but he's over 200 pounds. He's very powerfully built in the frame he's got. And he's got a vicious dead leg move that I saw in a playoff game last year. He can break tackles. He's a very, 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 very good player. And, yeah, like you mentioned, Lance, he was at Alabama spring game. I talked to him, and he was like, yeah, it wasn't anything like that. Like, my coach just likes Alabama. So we kind of – I'd been to Georgia twice in the past week, so I decided to go over there instead. He's taken a few other official visits, but I asked him point blank. I said, what does Georgia need to do to keep you in the class? And he said, nothing, man. I'm locked in. So locked in, a million different things in college football.
Locked in with 15 different official visits.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, he's built a relationship with Josh Crawford, who obviously just took the job a couple months ago. So I wouldn't be, I mean, him and Ethan Barber are two of the leaders in recruiting guys in this class. I mean, when he got called up as running back MVP yesterday, a lot of guys started like hooting and hollering and stuff. So he's a very popular guy among recruits, guys his age, I would say. So I wouldn't be worried if I was a Georgia fan, but you know, obviously there's still a long way to go in the cycle. But pertaining to yesterday, yeah, he was very, very impressive.
I thought it was funny when they were doing those one-on-one drills and, you know, Brandon Jacobs is coaching. Everybody knows who he is. And they come up and if they touch the running back, then he's tackled, I guess. And Jacob said, "Yeah, you run up there and try to tackle him like that." Talking about Bobo, he said, "He'll run your ass over."
Yeah. That's the stuff you don't. He was really good yesterday without necessarily showcasing one of the things he's best at. That shows you how well he performed yesterday.
You know who he's very comparable to from the NFL is Maurice Jones-Drew. Body type, size. Yeah. He looks like a daggum bowling ball.
Yeah. Did you hear their nickname for him? They called him Meatball.
Oh, Meatball. That was.
I heard it was like Juju and some of the Carrollton kids were like, "Meatball, Meatball." And he was laughing. They were laughing. It was pretty funny.
I get it. That kid is he's built. I mean, he's thick. Can run. But the drill you're talking about, I guess I think they call it cat and mouse or something, where basically they pitch a guy the ball. You got to keep it within 10 yards, and you got to try to get past a linebacker. His job is try to two-hand touch you, and your job is get past him, and you have to keep it. It's basically open field tackling. You both come in at an angle, and all these running backs, they start hopping, and they try to fake and move around, and a lot of the defensive linebackers, they just, you know, they watch your hips, they go up and tag you.
Yeah.
And some of the linebackers get burned, you know, they fall for the head fake or the dead leg or something like that. What I liked about Bo was he wasn't trying to do all the fast stuff. If he saw that he had an angle, he would just speed to the corner and make it. Or he's like, look, I'm going to try to get his cover as much distance as possible so that that linebacker has to commit quickly. And then I'm just going to make one move and go. I'll put together the clips that I shot of that cat and mouse thing, and you'll see what I'm talking about. He very seldom got tagged on his side of the field. He was almost always, and to me, that just screams past the sticks. Past the sticks. Yeah. That mindset, I'm not going to sit here and try to make everybody go ooh and ah by making a, you know, the guy miss me altogether. I'm going to pick up yardage. Okay. So it was fun to watch. And he could catch. All right. Before we'll do another round of who else stood out to you. So I'm going to give you guys a minute to think about three more guys that kind of stood out to you. So you got to come up with those. First and foremost, though, I want to take this out. And I want to mention our friends at the Rogue Shop. Now, the reason we have this show, one of the reasons we have it is in due in part to our friends at the Rogue Shop. They are big sponsors of our site. They are big sponsors of this show. And with 420 coming a few days ago, they had a very good promotion going on. It was like a UGA 420, and then you get 25% off of anything on their site. That was a great promo they had going on. But right now, you can always get 10% off on any order that you have from the Rogue Shop by putting in promo code BULLDOGS10, BULLDOGS10. Get 10% off. You can try their Delta 9 THC chocolates or their THC gummies, you know, the watermelon or mango or blue raspberry. You can try their Nerd Bites. You know, they have tons of fun stuff from over there. And let me add these guys to the panel. Oops. So when you check out their page, they have tons of interesting items. You know, they have their sleep gummies, they have their pain gummies, they have their brownies, they have lollipops, they have drinks, they have droppers, and they have vape pens, everything you want at the Rogue Shop. So check them out when you get a chance. Use promo code BULLDOGS10. All right, Jed, you're back up. Give us one more guy who stood out to you.
Yeah, well, I'll go with a guy you talked to yesterday was Zyke Helton, the center from Carrollton. He worked at center, he worked at guard, he worked at tackle. And he's a guy, Roddy, we wrote about him. I shouldn't have closed that thing. We wrote about him in January after the Under Armour camp. And he dominated there too, but he had lost a bunch of weight due to a battle with Crohn's disease. And he's like, yeah, I'm feeling better. I'm getting it back. So he weighed in at 6'3½" and 251 pounds yesterday and kicked everybody's ass all day long at every position. Phenomenal looking guy. And obviously that weight will continue to grow as he gets further removed from the battle with Crohn's disease. But
what? I think he's muted.
Jed, for some reason you're muted.
Oh, yeah, I muted myself when I was pulling the roster up. Zyke was phenomenal. Yeah, it's brutal.
I noted it too. So.
Zyke was phenomenal. And Roddy, you talked to him before the camp, and he gave you a quote that was something to the effect of, yeah, man, I can't wait to get up there and play for Georgia. Like, whoa, because he has decommitted from Alabama. He visited, and he gave me a quote earlier this spring that was like, yeah, Georgia's number one. So it looks like that's Georgia's race to lose right now. And if he were to commit to Georgia, he's a guy who, assuming you get that weight back on him, is a guy who's going to be very impressive, whether he ends up at center or whether he ends up at guard.
I'm going to go ahead and make my future cast now.
Same thing.
Look at him go.
Sorry. I'm just going to go ahead and make my future cast here on the show. The kid did say, I can't wait to play for Georgia.
And he told me that last week. And
oh, yeah.
While he was, for those of y'all don't know, he was fishing. And I was on the phone with him. And he was like, hey, hold on. I just caught a fish. And he put the phone on speaker. And I asked him yesterday, I was like, what kind of fish you catch? He was like, I just caught a small brim. And he was taking it off. He said he was taking it off the hook as he was still talking to me. Funny kid.
Man of multiple talents. But yeah, to your point, the Zyke Helton story is fascinating for a guy that was up to 330 pounds, dropped down to basically lost 100 pounds, the Crohn's, and with a condition that made it even worse. But now he's back to 250. I asked, but where do you want to get to? He goes 295. But he did lose some muscle mass, of course, but it was a lot of bad weight. But his body's used to moving 330 pounds around. So now it's in a 251-pound body, and his feet are so fast, and he's got that punch, and he just kicked the ass of guys who were a lot bigger. We had some 300 plus defensive linemen lining up in that zero technique, shading them coming in, and he just cleaned their clocks one after the other after another. So it's like, okay, well, maybe this is a one-time thing. Maybe it's just these defensive linemen aren't that good. He was at Under Armour in January, kicked everybody's ass. So it feels weird when you look out there and you see this guy walk out. He's so much smaller than everybody else, but he just beats their brains in.
Yeah.
And he loves people that want to give we talk about this in the past where people have carryover angst. People, they're still mad about Mike Bobo's call with against South Carolina. They still bring it up. You mentioned Terrence Edwards, or people that still give him shit about the game against Florida. You know, people that hold a grudge. People still mad at Stacey Searles for stuff that happened a million years ago. If George gets Zaki Hilton, it'll be because of Stacey Searles. I mean, his face just changes when he talks about Stacey Searles. So you can blame him for other stuff, but you got to give him credit where it's due, and this would be one where the credit is due. All right, Trent, you're up.
I mean, I could take the easy way out and just say Juju Lewis because he's the best quarterback to count. But let's see. I mean, I thought Lagonza Hayward was good. I mean, he about killed a kid.
Who's that?
Hayward, Lagonza Hayward. me and Jed looked at each other. I said, I think he's gone. I don't know.
For those unfamiliar with who Trent's talking about, Lagonza Hayward's DB from Toombs County, and he, like Roddy said, it's a one-on-one. I guess it was just a fade route down the sideline, and Lagonza, like, he knocks the ball away and then kind of takes the kid to the ground, and the kid, I don't even remember who it was, hit the ground and, like, slid on the ground in the end zone. And me and Trent were like, this kid just, like, shaved his face off because he slid on the turf for 5 yards. And he got up, and I think he ended up okay, which is why we can laugh about it. But he you know, tweaked an ankle or something. But, very big. Lagonza Hayward's very big. That was the thing that stood out to me. He's got really, really good size. But, Lance, you talked to him and said he said George had kind of cooled on him a little bit.
Yeah, and what impressed me more about him is I thought, you know, talking about he is a true safety, in my opinion. Looking at his frame, looking at his build, I don't think you would see him at star like we talked about with Winners earlier. I think he is a true safety. I don't know what George's numbers are in this class. Looking at that, that might be a reason why, or you know, how versatile he is, because Kirby likes guys that'll play multiple positions. And I think Hayward's a true safety. I don't think you'll see him come down playing corner, but I was impressed, you know, with it, with the speed, with the physicality. He didn't shy down just because he didn't have pads on, and you know he had. You know, some bling bling in his mouth too. So,
All right, Lance, give us one more, and then we'll move on to questions.
I liked, he was a 26 linebacker, Anthony Davis out of Grayson. He really impressed me. His length and just his ability to kind of cover in space, like Roddy said. I mean, they had these linebackers out there, and he was a part
covered of covered nine routes, man. Covered.
He was a part of that group on the left side where Quintarius Walker, the one that was talking all that crap. But I mean, he got out there and made some plays, and I mean, I saw him play last year opposite of Tyler Atkinson, which is another 2026 prospect, to like one of the best in the nation in his same class. And he plays on the opposite. And I mean, the dude can hit. I mean, he doesn't shy away from contact. I've seen it in a game. And yesterday I kind of got to see his speed on full display, and his recruitment's blown up in the last month or so. With a ton of great offers.
One of the best drills we saw all day yesterday was a running back versus DN, or you know, edge guy, linebackers blocking. That was one of the best things they got after.
They got violent fast.
They did.
Especially for guys without pads on. But, hey, you find out. You learn it. And if, you know, if someone says, well, do you think this guy can pass block at Georgia? You know, can he pick up a blitz? I'm like, here's what we saw in camp. So, again, shout out to the Rivals team for getting an absolutely loaded camp. They'll be in Dallas this weekend. We'll have some great updates from our Dallas national guys or regional guys out there. But we really appreciate the fact that Rivals put that together and brought us a camp full of guys at Georgia's recruiting. I mean, it was fish in a barrel. Every time you looked up, there's another guy walking in with a Georgia offer, and we had so many updates. We're going to have ridiculous number of updates. I'm going to make Jed write up all the stuff that all the interviews I did, because you know, I'm too lazy to actually transcribe the quotes myself. So Jed will have a busy day. Or hey, we can make Paul do it, you know, because he's not here. So we'll make him do it. All right, let's get to the questions real quick. The 11-year intern. All right. What's up, dog? Says, any 5-star recruits on the cusp of committing to our dogs? If so, who and when will they commit? Thank you in advance.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say anybody on the – oh, let's see. I had the 5-stars open and I closed. Oh, there it is.
I mean, winners has got to be a 5-star soon.
Okay. Yeah.
Right, after yesterday, yeah, I'm going to make sure of that. Yeah, I mean, you look at the 5-stars now that Georgia's in the best position with. I mean, there's Elijah Griffin, who has said he's planning to go to signing day. Justice Terry, who is committed to USC, could flip back, but that doesn't necessarily seem imminent. David Sanders, who Georgia seems to be behind Clemson and Tennessee. And then Julian Lewis, who we've covered extensively already. So, I mean, I think, and Naeem Offer as well is a guy who Georgia is in on, committed to Ohio State as a corner. So, I mean, I think if you're looking for one that could pop soon, I would watch Justice Terry only to see, does he flip back after his official visit, which is scheduled for that May 31st through June 2nd. I don't necessarily think that'll happen, but I just think all these other guys, you know, Griffin's going to go the distance. David Sanders is going to go at least till through June, you know, when he takes all his officials. And Offord is already committed. No guarantee he even flips anyway. So I would say if there was one that theoretically could pop soon, it might be Justice Terry if Georgia can convince him to flip after he takes that official visit.
In a long-winded way, that is the there's not anybody on the cusp.
Yeah.
Spacepoke the third, or Spacepoke 3, always has a good question. It says, what are the odds of either Sanders or Petty, or is another tackle more likely? Not short of Gaston, who could be great tackles or guards. So Sanders or Petty or anybody else, what are the odds of landing those guys? I think you just kind of touched on a Jed that if Sanders is out. What about Petty?
Yeah, I mean, Georgia likes Josh Petty. He likes Georgia's been there a lot. He's got an OV scheduled, I think. Don't see it. I'll check with him on that. A guy I talked with yesterday is, let me butcher this name real quick. I wrote a story on today that we're going to have tomorrow. It's Damola. Hang on, let me pull the thing up.
Damola.
Out of Duluth. Damola Ajidahun is what I'm going to go with. He's out of Duluth. He said Georgia has compared him to Broderick Jones, which raises your eyebrows because Broderick Jones was a first-round pick. He measured at 6'6", 275 pounds yesterday with an 88-inch wingspan. So you know he's raw, but you can tell the talent is there. And he said, yeah, Georgia's been talking to me a lot. They offered him about a month and a half ago, when he visited for a spring practice. He's got an official visit set for the last weekend of June. And before that, it's a weird foursome. It's Georgia Tech, it's Duke, and it's South Florida, and then it's Georgia. So interesting group of four, but Georgia's got the development to sell. It's close to home. A lot of things going in Georgia's favor. So if Georgia decides to really turn the heat up and go for him, I think they could have a good shot.
Okay.
He just murdered a man.
Yeah, good.
Looks like Michael Orr from the Blind Side pushed this kid
30. Well, he's got two of them. I thought he had two of them.
That was a hate crime. He just hated that man and just crimed him.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah, definitely a name to be familiar with.
If we're looking at frame
and not the fastest feet, but that's just rude, yeah. Man.
There is Broderick Jones from his athleticism and
yeah.
God, can you imagine being in high school? You go up there as a defensive end, and you look up and see that monster coming at you. Like, man, this ain't fair. That's like playing a grown man. That ain't right. That's me.
Just took another kid to the ground.
He finishes nasty, so I like that. All right, next question. This is from Southern Dog 76. What is the latest on Zayden Walker?
Visited South Carolina this weekend, which South Carolina has been a factor in his recruitment for a while. His official visit to Georgia is the first weekend in June. And, yeah, I still like where Georgia's at there. He is the number one inside linebacker target, I would say, and has been for a long time. Their relationships with Kirby Smart, Glenn Schumann have been there for a really long time. South Carolina's in there. Miami, I believe, is up there. Florida State. But I would pick in Georgia as of today.
Okay. Andy Stowe, who is a great co-host on our Sunday show. We appreciate him and also a great supporter of this site. Be sure to follow Andy and Andy from Ackworth when you get a chance. They have some good stuff. Juju said that UGA got their 2025 QB. Are the Georgia coaches happy with Ryan Montgomery, or are they still out there looking for someone else to pair him with?
Trent? I think that all depends on what they do in the portal.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you see Georgia make a move in the portal, you're not taking another 25 quarterback unless his name is Juju. And if you do not land a guy in the portal, I think there's a very good chance you do see Georgia just at least evaluate the position, because they could still go portal in December. Mm-hmm. So,
I think they're very happy with Ryan Montgomery. Again, they wouldn't give him green light if they didn't think that he could be the guy. But that does bring up a lot of questions about Rashada. What are we hearing about Rashada? Yeah. A, who is it? And B, what are we hearing?
Yeah, transfer quarterback from Arizona State. And for those who keep up with the NIL news of the world, that's the guy who was committed to Florida. I think it signed with Florida, I guess, and then backed out of it. And there is a supposed NIL deal that fell through. It was a whole thing. Ends up at Arizona State. I believe I didn't follow Arizona State football super close, believe it or not. But I believe he started at the beginning of the year and I think got hurt, I think. So, as soon as he went in the portal, was it Saturday night or
Friday Thursday night,
whatever it was, Georgia was like immediately out there as a team to watch. So he's supposed to be on campus soon. And that kind of seems like the guy who, Robbie, you mentioned a couple potential portal guys on the board last week. He seems to be the guy that's kind of surged to the forefront as the top target, I guess. So we'll see. Yeah, I think last I saw, he's got a couple other visits that are planned. Does Georgia get him to commit while he's in Athens? Who knows? But that's the guy that has surged to the top of the list in terms of portal quarterback targets right now, I would say.
The last Arizona State quarterback that transferred to the SEC did pretty good.
Yeah.
People forget.
Seemed to work out for him. We'll see about the Rashada thing. A lot of people were saying he was supposed to visit today. I think he's going to wait till like the 30th of the month before he winds up in Athens. Again, it's one of those situations where with what Georgia has invested, you know, in their quarterbacks, they definitely need a fourth QB. Mm-hmm. So when his name first popped up, I'm like, this just doesn't seem like a possibility, because we know the giant NIL deal that he had at Florida that they couldn't even come through and pay mm-hmm. based on what they had promised. So I'm like, if this guy wants half of that, he ain't coming to Georgia. But what I'm hearing is this is not an NIL play. This is a kid who's like, okay, I just wasted a year. Basically, I need to go somewhere where I can actually play ball and show what I can do. So that would make perfect sense to come to Georgia and be developed by Mike Bobo in a Kirby Smart offense, play in front of, Jed, you guys said, hey, I didn't follow ASU. Who the hell did? You're at Georgia, you're at Michigan, you're at Ohio State, you're at a big name school. And if you can hit the field there, everybody in the world watches you. So mm-hmm. again, if you can play, the NFL will find you. But at the same time, it's a lot easier to find you when you're like, hey, I'm on 8 o'clock CBS right here.
Carson Beck showed this past year And he has obviously decided to come back, but he showed, hey, you could play 1 year and play really well.
Yeah, he'd be a draft pick right now.
Yeah, I mean, if he'd come out, he'd have been, you know, obviously, you know, how the combine, all that stuff goes. He'd have been, I would say, no worse than a second round pick, right? And who knows, maybe you work your way into the first. So that he has shown that you can wait, be developed, and then play 1 year at Georgia, then, like you said, Roddy, on the big stages against the best competition, and then be off to the NFL. So we'll see. But definitely that's a name to know.
Your practice film at Georgia can get you drafted.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying. Yeah, so you come in for 1 year and go up against Georgia's first team defense, you know, the whole fall, you're going to get better.
Yeah.
Or you're going to get cut. I mean, what are the two?
Well, hey, I will give this insight to our loyal viewers. What Georgia does to its quarterbacks in practice is vile. It is vile. Yeah. It is mean. They are not giving you cookie cutter looks. They are not making it easy on you. They are throwing the kitchen sink at you, and Kirby loves it. He puts his quarterbacks through hell. You know how they try to – Georgia defense fools quarterbacks all the time where they're showing one coverage, then move, you know, morphing into another one right before the ball set, or the way they develop. I remember, Rich LeCount baiting them in, but that's the shifting safeties, you know, the interceptions and such. There's a lot of stuff out there that Georgia does to make it tough on a quarterback. They do that in practice to their own QBs. It's not, hey, let's go down the script. It's let's make this guy's life a living hell. And if you can make it Georgia, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. You'll find out if you're NFL caliber by going up against Malachi Starks with Smile Munden breathing down your throat and Mikael Williams coming off the edge and trying to get a little window in there against Julian Humphries. Good luck.
Yeah. Good luck.
All right. Next question is from, speaking of defensive backs and trying to go against them, is Cormani McClain a possibility? From Valdog 2024.
No. I would be shocked. There's a lot going on there. And, if I remember right, USC was kind of a factor in his recruitment the first time around. So it would make sense that Dante Williams would reach out and touch base. No, I don't believe that is a possibility. I mean, also, if you're looking to add a DB, I would think you'd be looking more at safety than you would be looking at corner necessarily anyway. So,
yeah.
Georgia's loaded at corner. I mean, yeah. they have four corners right now that could legitimately start and maybe even five. So, yeah. I mean, you got Harris, you got Everett, you got Humphrey, you got Ellis Robinson. I mean, that's four. And that doesn't even count the other guys on campus with Pill and all those stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so those guys had some good guys saw the writing on the wall and left last year. All right, C-Buck11, who always has good questions for us. We appreciate it, C-Buck11. He says, how do we sit with Tavian Wallace?
Take this one. I talked with Tavian yesterday. Was going to go visit him next week, actually, but it was perfect that he was there. He basically told me that it's Florida State and Georgia at this point. I would say Florida State's probably a little bit in the lead. They're a little bit closer than Athens is down there in Jessup, kind of near St. Simon's. But, I mean, just they're kind of right there. And he told me that his relationship with Glenn Schumann is developing. When I mentioned Schumann's name, his face lit up a smile. And then that's all he could talk about for, like, 2 minutes. He says they're looking at him. We've got him tabbed as an outside linebacker. He says they're looking at him more as an inside linebacker. And I just straight up asked him, I was like, I mean, do you think that, what's their pitch to you? And he said that, basically Raylan Wilson and the kid from Lamar County that shined this year, CJ Allen. And he could see himself playing as a freshman if he's ready. And that was their pitch to him. And he really, really liked that. So I'd say Georgia's gaining ground pretty fast. He's going to be – I forgot when his official visit was, but I think that Georgia has a good chance to get him.
I don't know why you'd ever put that kid on one side of the field.
Yeah.
Put him in the middle and let him go.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, and like that was the yesterday was the first time I actually got to like see him in person. I mean, he's long. I mean, he's long. I mean, he's got some size to him, and his arms, his wingspan. I mean, I just feel like I'd like to see him and Bo Walker just go up against each other because Bo's just kind of small, and I mean his like arms, like his wingspan is just huge. Tavian's is, so that'd be interesting to see.
Hey, maybe we'll get him at the. Oh, well, we're not even supposed to announce that. Our that'll be a secret. We'll bring that up later on. Okay. From GoDogs 212 says, how do we feel about Eric Winters after his G-Day visit and speaking to him over the weekend at the Atlanta camp? So how do you guys feel about it? We spoke about him extensively early on. Where does he wind up?
So what I'll say, what Georgia has going for it, when I talked to him yesterday, he said it's always been a dream to play for a coach like Kirby Smart, defensive-minded head coach, and a program that emphasizes defense. So Georgia is that. Auburn is not that. Miami is not that. So if I'm Georgia, I'm hammering home, hey, come play for a defensive-minded program, a defensive-minded coach, a coach that played the position you would play, and see where that takes you. I get a feeling that it's going to be Georgia and Auburn to the end of this, and it's a tale as old as time, right? Can you pull the – I don't even know where he goes to school in Alabama, but can you pull the Alabama kid out of the state? And Georgia has done that with some kids and some kids not so much. So I honestly just think it's too close. It's such a cop-out answer, I know, but it's too close to call just because the interest with Georgia has picked up so much. The safety vision for him is still relatively new. And I think it's going to come down to official visits, but I think Georgia is set up for success going into this summer for sure.
I think one thing working in Georgia's favors there is the relationship built with Glenn Schumann before is kind of transitioned from linebacker to safety. And now you have that relationship kind of transition into the DB coaches, and you're going to have some very good recruiters on him, and not to mention Kirby will jump in as well. So that along with him playing DB, he just looked like he wanted to play DB yesterday. Mm-hmm. I mean, like it wasn't like a, you know, where he was just out there goofing around where he's that kid's a linebacker. No, it was like, come get some. Whoever wants some, come get some. And like, he was very good.
I look for that, man. I look for the guys that steal reps.
Mm-hmm. He was out there every other rep.
So,
he's out there all the time.
You do your rep, you're supposed to go to the end of the line. And there's maybe 13 guys on that sideline. Well, if he's going every sixth guy, that means that he's not going back to the end of the line. He's kind of walking up, and they're milling about, and he kind of works his way in there. And then when all of a sudden he's fourth in line, and usually the coach would be like, hey, didn't you just go get to the back? Hello. You talk about the Walker, Quatorius Walker, stealing reps. One time he tried to go like – one rep, and then there's like two guys, and then he tried to go again. They're like, dude, come on, at least make it look like you're getting back in line.
I mean, winners are staying.
Bo Walker took a ton of reps.
Yeah.
My point is sometimes at these camps like this, the really big name guys are like, look, I'm already a made man, if you will. I don't need to make a bunch of reps. I don't need to go out there and show what I can do. But I look for the guys who are, you know, ranked 115, 59, 18, whatever, you know, ranked guys who are willing to say, I want to whip somebody's butt today. And
you remember Xavier Truss coming down to the five-star challenge in Atlanta, and we're like, oh, we're going to see what Georgia's getting with this Rhode Island kid, and he stood on the sideline and never took a rep. And we're like, yeah. Who knows? Like, I think he was like, hey, this is a little much for me right now. I'm good.
to your point, at the Under Armour camp, I kept waiting to see Caden Prothrow do something. And I think I saw like one rep. This week, yesterday, he took a crap ton of reps, looked great, won MVP. that's what you want to see. You want to see a guy go at it. Now, who knows how he was feeling that Sunday, and you know, some of the directions at the Under Armour camp wasn't as good as the Rivals camp, you know. Saying, but he looked great, and that was to your point. I want to see a guy who just goes at it over and over again, who steals reps, you know, who wants to prove himself. And Eric Winters wanted to prove himself. All right, well, let's kind of wrap up the last two here real quick. I kept you guys long enough. Let me put this on screen. From Godog, and it's also from Godogs 212. He says, can we get the inside info on Jeremiah McLeod? Don't know much about him.
Yeah, he's from Mississippi. I don't know if he's from Mississippi. Committed to Mississippi State. Just decommitted the other day. He visited Georgia this spring, got an offer, and he, what did he tell the National Guys? He had a really good quote that was like something along the fact of like, when Georgia offers you, it means something. It means a lot. So that's a guy, you know, I spoke with Malik Autry, an Auburn commit this weekend, and he was like, yeah, Georgia had been hearing, I had been hearing from Georgia, but I hadn't heard from him in a while. I think McLeod could be the, I guess, the target to know now that that Autry kind of seems off the board. So he looks like he'd fit in kind of that three tech spot. That's every kid's dream to get offered by Georgia. There it is. That's the quote I was thinking of. So, yeah, clearly meant a lot. Wouldn't be surprised if he gets an official visit set up for this summer. And yeah, he's another guy to know. Again, kind of at that three tech spot, you've got Stephon Shivers, who's going to be the nose, the zero tech guy. Lance, you mentioned Kevin Wynn earlier, who's a zero tech, could be a three tech. Elijah Griffin, probably more of a three tech. And Jeremiah McLeod is a guy to know kind of at that three tech spot as well.
Awesome. All right, last question, and we're going to end the show here. From Buckhead Dog 24, Miami Edge Jaden Wayne's in the portal. Are the Dogs kicking the tires?
Yeah, wouldn't shock me just because, I mean, for those who don't remember, Jaden Wayne was from like Seattle or Tacoma or something, but Georgia was in the thick of his recruitment for a while. Down to the very end, he ended up choosing Miami. It wouldn't shock me to see him kick the tires, but we were talking about this before we came on the air. Do you have the room to bring in an edge? Do you need an edge more than you would need a guy at another spot? That's kind of the question. But from the standpoint of a guy that Georgia has a relationship with that knows him pretty well, it could make sense. But we'll see what we can find out on that over the next couple of days. It wouldn't shock me at all, for sure.
Didn't Jaden Wayne go from like Washington to IMG?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think maybe in like the middle of the season, because I remember like Gabe Harris was committed and at IMG at the time, and the thought was, oh, you get him around Gabe Harris, Gabe can put in a good word for Georgia and see what you can end up with for a guy playing more or less the same position. So obviously didn't happen, but yeah, again, the guy Georgia's got relationships with, Jadera Uzodiribe knows him, Kirby Smart knows him, so we'll see anything, if anything comes of it here in the not too distant future.
Awesome. Hey folks, that's all the time we have for this week's show. We really appreciate all of you tuning in. It means a lot to us. Ever see all those same names and all the people that put in questions 8:30 Monday nights. I look forward to it every week. I don't know if these guys do, but I don't care. They got to do it. It's their job. So they have to show up. We always appreciate it. And hopefully we will see you next week at 8:30. We'll have all the new updates. Again, we have a lot more to cover. We have a lot more stuff coming. Next Sunday will be the Dallas camp, and we should have some interesting updates from any of the guys that George is recruiting in the area of Texas. So we'll talk to you next week. Take care.